Well, let's talk some about education since that's so near and dear to your heart. What grade do you give if you're passing out a report card to the legislature for their jobs on public education over the past few years?
Can you give something lower than an F? I don't know. Today I was dealing with an issue. It's called RTA, Read to Achieve. Talk about screwy things. I mean, now this is not so much about a money issue, but tell me if this makes sense to you. Children enter the third grade. When they enter the third grade, they take a beginning of the year test. If they pass it, fine. If they don't, they get to work on portfolios or they get remedial assistance or something to help get them to where they should be at the start of the year. And then we evaluate the kids over and over and over again over the course of the year, you know, on reading mm-hmm. in particular. It's not math. It's just reading we're talking about. And at the end of the year, they take an EOG, an end of grade test. If they fail the end of grade test, then they get to take it again. If they fail it the second time, then they get to go to a summer reading camp. At the summer reading camp, if their portfolios weren't finished from the school year, they work on them there. And then at the end of summer reading camp, they get to take another test. And if they fail that, then they don't get promoted to fourth grade. But wait a second. It's not done because they still go to a fourth grade classroom, but they're required, the school is required to teach them third grade curriculum in a fourth grade class with the other fourth graders around them. And then in October, they get to take the test again. And if they don't pass the test, then they have to pass these portfolios, these assessments that they have to do over the course of the year. And if they don't succeed then, we promote them to fifth grade.
That is a very confusing process that you just laid out for me. My head is spinning. So you've probably had to explain this multiple times to many different people.
I've had to explain it to myself because I don't get it. Now, I will tell you this much. If somebody said to me, we want every third grader to read on grade level at the end of third grade, I would say, that is a great idea. Boy, do we want that. But you know, children aren't like perfect little square blocks fitting into perfect little square holes. Some learn faster than others do. Some learn slower than others. Some struggle with enough nutrition at home and having a roof over their head. Some of them have family issues that make school harder. Some of them are just not real socially comfortable around other kids in school. I mean, every kid's different. And kids learn at their own pace, and it's our job to find the ones who are not keeping up and to help them. But tell me something, if you failed the same test over and over and over again, what would that do to your little 9-year-old ego?
Yeah, it would damage it, I would think.
I think so, and I think it's a cruel thing to do to those children. That's me.
Now, who's responsible for that? Is that, forgive my ignorance on it, is that a state policy?
Oh, yes. That is state law. The Read to Achieve Act is a state law. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things that scares me when the state legislature gets involved in education. I mean, in the state legislature, 55-56% of our state budget is education. And yet only about 1% of our representatives there are educators. Now, I don't think they all have to be educators over there. I think we should have lawyers and we should have educators. We should probably have doctors and we should have business people. You know, we should have all kinds of backgrounds in the state legislature. But for so many people to have so much control over education who understand what makes schools work and what doesn't is pretty frightening. Now, that's just one example. We can talk about vouchers and how terrible they are, what a bad decision that was, which just yanks more money out of the public school system. We can talk about charter schools and what's gone wrong there. There are issues with charter schools. I will tell you that I am, as a candidate and as a human being, I am all about school choice. I think that's fine. What I'm not about is an uneven playing field. And our charter schools have different regulations and different rules that apply to them, different relationships with private entities who are coming in into the schools to have an influence over them. The original function of a charter school was to be a laboratory school in a community, and it's not anymore. In fact, Educational Leadership published an article about 2 years ago that showed very, very clearly that our public schools are far more innovative than our charter schools in general. Now, there are exceptions to that, of course. But if parents choose to have their children at a charter school, I'm fine with that. I don't have a problem with that. I don't object to it. I like that parents can choose. I like they can make choices for their kids. I just think that we need to be more mindful of being sure that what we expect of a child in a public school and what we expect of the staff in a public school is exactly the same in a charter school.
So what did you think of what the legislature did regarding charter schools? I believe what they had was a 100 charter school cap at first, and the Republican legislature recently lifted that cap. And I think it's nearly doubled the amount of charter schools that we have in the state.
Yeah, nearly.
What do you think? How would you have handled that differently?
Well, I wouldn't have lifted the cap. Mm-hmm. I think that was a mistake. And I think as a legislator, I think we should say, well, we came up with this vision of schools that could be laboratories for school change and school growth. And it should be our expectation that that's exactly what they are. If they're not doing innovative programs, then I have a problem with that. I have a problem with the way they've grown. I think right now it's more about choice and less about improving the profession mm-hmm. and growing the profession. And like I said, I don't mean to reiterate myself, but it's a mistake that people make to think that those charter schools are more innovative than our public schools. There is no evidence of that. Right here in Buncombe County, we've got this wonderful STEM high school now. Talk about innovation. We've got the early college and the middle college going on over the AB Tech campus. We are finding ways to reach kids that we have never found before. Even in my school, we're reaching STEM into the elementary schools now and STEM labs and opportunities for kids to grow in the most progressive area of education we've got. And I'd have to say that I would challenge our charters to show that they're doing anything different. Mm-hmm. Some of them are doing the same things, mm-hmm. but they're different.
You also mentioned the voucher program, and you mentioned opposition to that, saying it was a bad idea, sucking money from the public schools. Could you be a little more specific about that? What is your opposition to the voucher program?
Well, first of all, vouchers go to people who, at least in theory, are poor people, people who don't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so they give them a voucher for $4,200, which, number one, is considerably less than the amount of money we have per pupil in the state, which is well above that. And they tell those people they can go to schools that don't have to have licensed personnel working in them. They don't have any accountability for testing or evaluating their students. They don't have any responsibility to have licensed administration or to have a curriculum that the state approves. And they don't have to test their kids and evaluate what they're learning. So I guess I just reiterated my accountability comment. Mm-hmm. So basically, we are taking our public tax dollars and we're investing it into schools that have no real responsibility to account for what they do here in North Carolina. I don't think that's fair to kids. Now, that's not a slam on private schools. There are some great private schools out there, but they don't cost $4,200 a year. I mean, they're considerably more expensive. So our families are having to make tough economic choices. And I find it ironic that the state, which demands so much accountability in our public schools, so much that it's overly burdensome, is so willing to just give up on a whole population of children and say to them, we don't care what you learn. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to us. Just take your money and go. I think it's wrong. I think it's an immoral decision. And I hope that someday it'll get kicked into the courts again and ruled on again. So far, the courts have supported North Carolina's decision to do that. Mm-hmm. But if I got into the Senate, I would want us to work hard to undo that law. Mm-hmm. To get rid of it altogether.
Well, it does kind of fly in the face that you talked about you're in favor of school choice. So is your opposition to that just basically that it's pulling money from the public school system and sending it ostensibly to these private schools or private groups or whatever they may be?
No. To me, it's not a choice decision to tell people to give their child an inferior education.
I see.
It doesn't serve the public interest. Charter schools at least have to use the state curriculum mm-hmm. To teach their kids, and they do have to give their kids the EOGs at the end of the year. They don't have to have all licensed staff. I think the law requires that 50% of the staff has to be licensed, which I don't think is so good, but that's beside the point. Mm-hmm. At least there are some standards that the state holds them to before they give them their money, and that's not true. It's like we're condemning children to a less than adequate education and hoping that it prepares them for what? I mean, Who knows if they'll be able to read at the end of school? Who knows if they'll know anything about our country's history or about any basic science? Who knows, will they be able to write paragraphs? Will they be able to communicate with people adequately? There's just so many questions. That said, I'm going to say this again. There are some private schools that do a really great job with kids. I know of some. I used to work in a private school. I started my career as a private teacher, a private school teacher. Now, we had a lot of demands on us. That was in the state of Virginia at the time. But I'm very concerned about what we do with education, and I'm very concerned with how we use our money and taking good money that should be supporting all the schools in the state and putting it into schools, into the hands of people to put into schools that really don't meet the needs or can't guarantee that they're out there trying to meet the needs of the, and don't have to tell us, by the way.
And just like HB2, this does kind of get into LGBT rights again, because some of these institutions, or a majority, I think, have been religious institutions that have may have policies to deny lesbians or gay people into their schools and that sort of thing.
Some of them have even written it right into their school's bylaws that you can't be this or you can't be that to come to their school.
Yeah.
So on top of, I'm really glad you mentioned that, because that's something else that bugs me about the voucher thing, is we're giving voucher money to people to sometimes go to schools that are designed to segregate one group from another group. Mm-hmm. And I think segregation is a pretty bad message.
What do you think of the job of the legislature on teacher pay?
Not satisfactory at all. This, you know, the governor is at $50,000 a year, you know, is the average pay for teachers. All you have to do is walk through my building. And we don't have a lot. I'm at a small school. If you ask those teachers, I don't think you'll find one making that kind of money. I'm glad that they increased pay for beginning teachers. That was a good thing to do. It might help us a little bit get people to leave the state at a slower rate to get better jobs elsewhere. But the end game is important to people, too. So once you've gotten past step 20 on the pay scale, which is about $50,000, well, you're not going anywhere else to speak of. And so are people really going to want to become career educators? Some of the most valuable teachers we have are career educators with 20 or more years. What's the enticement for them to stay in their jobs? And that concerns me, and it concerns me greatly. That's number one. Governor McCrory is sadly misled. I know my opponent will tell you we'd get a great job in the Senate giving teachers raises. Well, they left a whole population of people out. They also took away longevity pay, which encourages people to keep a career in education. They say they rolled that into the raises they gave teachers. They've taken away longevity pay, period, end of sentence. They took that away. They took away the ability of teachers to go out and earn advanced degrees and earn additional pay with those advanced degrees. The only exception would be is if the job in particular requires an advanced degree. Like to be a school administrator, I had to have a master's in school administration. To be a school counselor, you have to have a master's. Those people do get paid. And they have grandfathered in people who already had one. I don't think legally they could have done away with it under any other circumstance. They had to do that. Mm-hmm. But they did take away due process rights for teachers by taking away career status for them. They've made the pay issue and the career status issue, they've made teaching a very unattractive career. Right now, North Carolina is having trouble finding school administrators. We are the lowest paid school administrators in the United States. I sometimes think maybe the Fiji Islands make less than we do. I don't know. But we are the lowest paid in the United States. And how does that entice people to seek out management as a career? And we need good school leaders. In fact, most research will tell you that the success of a school is tied directly to the quality of school leadership and what that school leader expects of the staff and the standards that they hold. So school leadership is a big deal. That's just one example. Why ignore that? And back to the end game again. Boy, I just bounced around. But back to the end game. Teachers in other states finish their careers making $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 more than our teachers here in North Carolina. If I'm a single person and I just graduate from UNCA and I don't have anything to hold me here, why would I want to work here when I could drive across the border into Virginia and make thousands and thousands of dollars more than I am here?
Have you lost teachers at your school over pay issues?
Not my school, no. Mm-hmm. No, but I know of my colleagues who have.
But you're in the hallways and you hear people talk. What is the mood like?
The morale is very low.
Morale is low.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the only bright spot in terms of morale is that I'm blessed to work with really good teachers who absolutely love children. Mm-hmm. And they would do anything for them. I was talking to one of my teachers today, my music teacher, and she was telling me that last year when money was even tighter than it is now, she was saying that she had to reach into her pocket to pay for things. Well, she sees, 600, 700 kids a day as a music teacher, a week. And she's trying to buy things that they need, the second-year teacher on the lowest end of the pay scale, trying to get the things that she needs for her students. And that I told her to never do that again. I said, if you need something, you come see me. I will find a way, by gosh and by golly, to take care of you. But it's not easy. We need the help of lots of agencies. You know, schools do big fundraisers now because we don't have enough money coming in the school to take care of basic
things. Yeah, I mean, teachers don't get into the profession for the money. They get into it for the kids.
Yes.
So probably a lot of them are sticking it out.
Yes, and hoping for better days.
Yeah.
A lot of them are, and I'm really glad you pointed that out. It's an incredibly empowering thing to be a school principal and to walk through the halls and to listen in the classrooms and see how magnificent, it's almost like a sort of a state of grace when a teacher reaches into a child and a child reaches into their teacher in that perfect moment, that almost symbiotic moment where they're talking to each other sometimes without words, and it makes all the difference in the world in a child's life. You can't pay people enough to do that, and you can't pay them little enough to keep them away from it. Teachers love kids. They wouldn't be there if they didn't.
Right.
And they love the fact that they know that what they're doing will hopefully make this state a better state and our country a better country. We have a lot of real patriots working in the building, and people who have great hopes for the future of their children. I always like to tell the story, you know, next time, I don't know if you like going to kindergarten classes.
I haven't gone to one since I was in kindergarten.
You might think of it sometime just to walk through and say, oh, look, that little five-year-old with his finger in his nose, isn't he cute? And then say, right. And someday he may be taking my appendix out. What kind of an education do I want that child to have? You know you want him to have the best education he possibly can get.
Right.
And we owe it to our children to do that and to the future of our state and our community.
Mm-hmm.